Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It is Friday, February 13th, 2026. And, I think everyone is a little tired of the AI changed everything narrative.
A little bit.
We've been hearing it since, what, the great hype cycle of 2024. But looking at the stack of reports and industry analysis we have here today, it really feels like the dust has finally settled. And we're looking at the actual infrastructure that was built while we were all, distracted by the image generators.
It's the difference between the sci-fi movie and the plumbing, isn't it? We spent years talking about the robots,
Yeah.
and now we're looking at the actual pipes that feed them.
Exactly. And to set the stage, I want to start with a scenario that feels very now, very February 2026. Let's say my laptop just dies in the old days, and it's kind of hilarious to say that, but let's say 2023, that was a 4-hour project for me. I'm reading reviews. I'm cross-referencing specs on three different sites. I'm hunting for a coupon code.
High friction, a lot of cognitive load. You practically needed a spreadsheet just to make a decision.
Right. But today, I pull out my phone, or maybe I just speak to the room and I say, get me a laptop that can handle 8K video rendering under 2 grand delivered by tomorrow morning.
And then you go make coffee.
I go make coffee. I don't browse. I don't click. The software just executes.
And that is the reality we are breaking down today. The industry has a name for it, agentic commerce.
Agentic commerce. It sounds a bit like a spy thriller, but the implications are, well, they're massive for anyone who sells anything. We are moving from a visual human-centric web to an intent-based machine-centric one.
Precisely. And our deep dive today is based on some heavy-hitting analysis on these AI buyers, the absolute criticality of real-time data, and why, and this is the kicker, the most beautiful website in the world is effectively useless if your back-end data is a mess.
That's the core tension, isn't it? We spent 20 years optimizing the internet for human eyeballs. Now suddenly we have to optimize it for algorithms. So let's define this properly. When we say agentic commerce, are we just talking about like a better autofill?
No. This is a fundamental architectural shift. Think of it this way. The traditional e-commerce model is operator-based. You, the human, are the operator.
I do the searching, the filtering, the clicking.
Exactly. You evaluate, you transact. Agentic commerce shifts you to the manager role. You just set the goal, stock my office, or find the best price for this thing, and the AI agent becomes the worker. It handles the whole execution loop.
So the agent isn't just recommending products, it is authorized to actually pull the trigger.
That's the distinct shift we've seen in the last, what, 18 months? The browsing phase is being decoupled from the human. And because of that, the way the shopper sees the product has totally changed.
How so?
Humans need visuals. We need the 360-degree spin, the lifestyle photo of the guy drinking coffee next to his new laptop, the persuasive copy.
Right, I need to feel the brand. I need to see the aesthetic.
Exactly. But an agent is blind. It doesn't care about your hero banner. It doesn't care about your influencer.
He cares about data.
It cares about structured data, parameter.
So if I'm a massive brand and I just dropped $5 million on a website redesign to make it look immersive, did a
If that redesign didn't include a complete overhaul of your API and data structure, then yes. I'm sorry to say you probably built a billboard in a world where the shoppers are reading spreadsheets.
That is a brutal realization.
Yeah.
But looking at the landscape, I mean, here in early 2026, the big players absolutely saw this coming.
Oh, they drove it. Look at Google. They rolled out AI mode and the business agent protocols back in, what, late 24, early 25. That wasn't just a feature update.
No.
That was them saying, we are going to standardize how machines talk to shops.
And this is the protocol that allows the AI to actually validate the cart and pay.
Correct. It lets AI systems validate product data, check availability, and finalize the transaction directly with the merchant. No human even needs to visit the checkout page.
And Amazon's doing the same.
Same thing. Their AI shopping agents monitor prices, they automate reordering. And we're seeing Shopify, OpenAI, Microsoft, everyone is building buying experiences that rely entirely on this machine-readable data.
It's wild. We used to optimize for SEO search engine optimization so people could find us. Now it seems like we need to optimize for, I don't know, AIO, artificial intelligence optimization.
That's a pretty good way to put it, because if you aren't optimized for the machine, you are just invisible.
Okay, so let's get into the brain of this machine shopper.
Yeah.
I want to understand how it actually sees the world, because you said it doesn't look at pictures.
Right. Think of the AI as a blind shopper. It cannot see your product photo. It can't be swayed by a celebrity on a banner ad.
So how does it know what it's even buying?
It reads product feeds, it pings APIs, it scans structured information. Imagine a spreadsheet with thousands and thousands of rows and columns.
That's what it sees.
That is what the AI sees. And it can scan thousands of those records across hundreds of sellers, you know, instantly.
And because it's not distracted by all the fluff, what is it actually evaluating? Mm. What are the key decision metrics?
It's just cold, hard logic. The sources highlight a few key things. First, obviously, is price versus value, but it's also looking at availability and delivery speed. It's checking supplier reliability scores.
And customer feedback, I assume.
Oh, yeah. It's analyzing customer feedback data, not just reading one review, but aggregating sentiment from thousands. And this is interesting. It's looking at long-term costs.
What do you mean, long-term costs?
Things like replenishment needs or energy efficiency. An AI can calculate the total cost of ownership of an appliance in a millisecond. A human usually just looks at the sticker price.
That's a great point. I might buy the cheaper printer because I see $99, but the AI knows the ink is three times as expensive and just refuses to buy it on my behalf.
Precisely. And this leads to the real so what of this whole section. If your data isn't structured effectively, if you don't clearly list that energy rating or the ink cartridge compatibility in a machine can parse, the AI just skips you.
It doesn't guess.
It doesn't guess. It moves to the next seller who does have their data in order.
So you could have the best product in the world, but if your data sheet is incomplete, you're just out of the game.
You are non-existent to the agent economy.
This brings us to a crucial piece that kept popping up in all the research. Speed. We're not just talking about data, but real-time product data. Why is real-time such a big deal? Can't the AI just look at yesterday's inventory?
No, and this is why. Static spreadsheets are dead. In the old model, a store might update its inventory online once a day. Overnight, maybe.
And I was fine.
It was fine when humans were browsing, because humans are slow.
Hey, now, speak for yourself.
Relatively speaking. But an AI agent is executing at machine speed. If a price changes or inventory drops by one unit, the AI needs to know immediately.
Let's play out the risk. What happens if the data is slow?
Okay, so imagine your AI agent goes to buy that laptop we talked about. It sees a record from 4 hours ago that says in stock.
Right.
It executes the buy command. But that last unit actually sold an hour ago. The data was stale.
So the purchase fails.
The purchase fails. And for an AI, that's a critical error. It loses trust in that data source. It logs that supplier as unreliable.
So next time, it won't even check there.
Yeah.
Wow. It's not just a lost sale. It's a lost reputation with the algorithm.
Exactly. And the sources list specific data points that absolutely must be real time. Live prices and discounts, obviously. Current stock levels. But also things like compliance and regulatory info.
Compliance. How does that work?
Sure. Imagine you're buying a chemical cleaner or a specific type of battery. Regulations might change, literally overnight, about where that item can be shipped.
I see.
If the AI buys it and the order gets flagged later because the data wasn't updated on shipping restrictions, that is a failed outcome.
And delivery timelines, too, I'd guess.
Huge. Next day delivery needs to mean actual next day from the moment the query is run. If the cutoff time passed 5 minutes ago, but the data feed hasn't refreshed, the AI makes a bad promise to its user.
And you mentioned Google is really cracking down on this.
Yes, their business agent framework is designed to actively bypass merchants with slow or unreliable data. They want to favor those with structured, real-time feeds because Google wants its human user to have a seamless experience.
Of course. If Google's AI keeps failing to buy things for you, you stop using Google's AI.
The pressure is immense, and it's all on the merchants to get their act together.
Okay, so we know what we need. Real-time, structured, accurate data. Right. Let's talk about the how. How do companies actually do this? Because I know for a fact a lot of them are still running on Excel sheets and, you know, hope.
More than you'd think. And that brings us to the real plumbing of agentic commerce, the acronyms.
Oh, boy. Laid them on me.
PIM and MDM.
PIM and MDM. Sounds like a law firm.
Product Information Management and Master Data Management. The sources always describe PI as the single source of truth.
I love that phrase, single source of truth. What does that actually mean in practice, though?
It means there is one and only one centralized place where all product data lives. It's not scattered across marketing's Dropbox, sales emails, and the warehouse clipboard.
It's all in one place.
It's centralized. PI maintains consistency and quality. And most importantly for this conversation, it enriches the data specifically for AI use.
What do you mean by enriches it?
It's about adding those specific attributes we talked about, making sure the material field is filled out correctly, ensuring dimensions are in standard units, making sure the relationships between products are clear, like this phone case fits this specific model of phone.
And MDM, where does that fit in?
Master data management is a bit broader. It's about creating the golden record.
There's another great term.
A golden record is the one consistent, verified version of a product or data entity across the entire enterprise. It ensures traceability, ownership, and compliance. But here's the kicker. It's not just product descriptions anymore. The AI needs business data from the whole company.
Like what kind of data?
It needs to know inventory levels from the ERP, the enterprise resource planning system. It needs pricing logic from the commerce platform. It needs supplier lead times from the supply chain system.
And all these different systems need to be talking to each other.
In real time. The sources are so clear on this. There must be real-time links between the PM, the ERP, and the commerce platforms. It all has to be API driven. You can't have a human copy pasting numbers. It's too slow. Too many errors.
So if you're a business leader listening to this or an IT head, your job description just fundamentally changed.
Drastically. The new IT focus isn't just keeping the servers running. It's about architecting these real-time systems and API integrations. The goal is to become a preferred supplier for AI buyers.
That is such a fascinating shift in mindset. You aren't trying to be the preferred brand for 18 to 35-year-olds anymore.
Nope.
You're trying to be the preferred supplier for an algorithm.
That's it. You have to build your commerce infrastructure for machines first, not just for people. Companies have to stop obsessing solely over how their website looks, the colors, the fonts, the cool animations, and start obsessing over the quality and speed of their data.
It's a hard pill to swallow for a lot of marketing departments, I'm sure.
It is, but it's completely inevitable.
So, let's bring this all together. We're in 2026. Agentic commerce is not a theory. It's here. What does this really mean for the future of business?
It means that data quality is now directly tied to revenue. It is not a back office IT concern anymore. It's a frontline sales concern. If your data is bad, you simply don't sell.
And for us, for the consumer, it means a world of frictionless buying.
Ideally, yeah. It means we stop doing the grunt work of shopping and just focus on the outcome we want.
I want to circle back to something we touched on earlier, though. If the AI is making decisions based on this cold, hard data, what happens to brand loyalty?
That is the big provocative question, isn't it?
I mean, seriously, think about it. We used to optimize websites for human eyes.
Yeah.
Using colors to evoke emotion, layouts to guide you to the buy button.
Mm-hmm.
Then we optimized for search engines, trying to guess what keywords people would type. Now we're optimizing for these AI agents.
Right.
So if an AI is making the buying decision for me and it only cares about efficiency and availability and price, does brand loyalty, as we know it, just cease to exist? Can a cool brand even survive if its data is a mess?
It's a massive vulnerability. You could be the coolest brand on Instagram, but if your API says you're out of stock or your pricing data is formatted weirdly, the AI just moves on. It'll go to the generic competitor who has their data house in order. The AI doesn't feel cool.
Or calculates optimal.
Calculates optimal. That's it.
That is a scary thought for the big legacy brands, but a massive opportunity for anyone who can master their data.
Absolutely. The playing field is being leveled, but the rules of the game have completely changed.
Well, on that note, I think I need to go check my own personal data hygiene.
Yeah.
Maybe organize my files or something.
Yeah.
Couldn't hurt.
Thank you all for listening to this deep dive into agentic commerce. It is a brave new world out there, so make sure your data is ready for it. See you next time.
See you next time.